Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Conway, here for my weekly chat with the Messenger's Mike Renner. He has been joining me the last couple of weeks to go over some Bengals stuff, but this is what I was really excited to have him on from a weekly basis to bring his great film study of the game each week on Mondays for you. So, Mike, we've got a lot to talk about. So let's just kick things off with give us your opening thoughts on the Bengals' performance yesterday.
It was as bad as I've seen the Bengals' offense look with Joe Burrow. Like, and that's like including his rookie year. And that's not really like a hot take. Obviously, if you watch the game, you agree. But I'm not pressing the panic button because it was so out of left field. You know, it was so uncharacteristic. The one thing that like does scare me, like the biggest takeaway I had in the game, truthfully, was not even really Bengals related. It was more Browns related. And that this like revamped D-line is going to be a problem. This is arguably could be the best defensive line in football in terms of like their high end, just because for my money, Myles Garrett's the scariest pass rusher in football. Obviously, I think Bengals fans, a lot of them would agree. He can rush from anywhere, and they were rushing him from everywhere. Unlike previous years where he was kind of static in his alignment, he would rush against LTs a lot. They had him, I think everyone's seen the clip by now, over center, had him on the right side against right tackle, against Jonah a few times, and he was just unstoppable there. But then Za'Darius Smith had to play like right at the beginning of the game. He's a versatile guy too. He can rush from anywhere. I think the addition of Dalvin Thomas and Shelby Harris, their DTs are way better. So to me, that was the story. It's just that defensive line took over the game, didn't let up, and in the rain, in those conditions, you weren't going to block them. You know, you couldn't get your footing. The bull rush and try to stop Myles Garrett on a wet field, like, good luck. So, fortunately, a lot of stuff was going against him in that one.
Well, it's funny. I actually just got done sitting in on Brian Callahan's press conference, and I always love getting the chance to listen to him because he's a really smart guy, and he can really explain things to you to make you really be able to understand them. He said, and Brian Callahan, his dad, is the Browns offensive line coach, and he's been one of the best offensive line coaches. So if there's anyone that knows offensive line, it's the Callahans. And when Brian Callahan was asked about Myles Garrett, he just essentially said he's unblockable. Like, he is so unique in what he can do with his size. And he said he's basically on another level. He did group him in with TJ Watt and Nick Bosa, but he basically just said that once Myles Garrett gets going in those one-on-one situations, it's almost like impossible to stop. But the thing is the Bengals have to play these guys again. And, you know, who knows if they make the playoffs again, and Myles Garrett isn't leaving Cleveland anytime soon. So what would be your thoughts on how they go about making sure performances like that don't happen in the future?
Well, I mean, you're praying it's not rain. I think the other big story is just like Joe Burrow missed more throws than I've ever seen him miss. You know, he had an open touchdown to T. Higgins that he puts out of bounds. He had a ball to Jamar on the sideline that he didn't give him really a chance to. Like, there were plays to be made that normally Joe Burrow makes. And I have like a theory that I think on the very first play of the game, he got his hand hit. And if you like are bruised at all in the rain, you don't have the same grip strength after that. I wonder if just like that was playing more of a factor than usual because he hit right on his hands. Darius Smith, that very first play, he may never admit it, but just like he threw more ducks in the rain than I've ever seen him. And like he's played in the rain before. So that's just like a complete aberration. I don't think you can bank on Joe Burrow ever, you know, having a game like that ever again. But I do think you have to do a little bit more in terms of chipping, helping this offensive line, because the Browns' game plan was we're going to line up five guys right at the line of scrimmage. They're all going to come, or someone's going to drop back. We're going to really challenge you, and then we're going to press on the outside and just say, you're not going to have enough time to find the guy who wins here. It was basically what they did, and obviously they won that bet. But I think in the future, what you got to do is you got to scheme up a little bit more in terms of motion, get guys some free releases to get a quick option for Joe Burrow when that's the case, because they just didn't have quick options a lot of the times. You can't just keep doing those vertical routes on the outside and expecting to have enough time to be able to complete those passes.
It's interesting to hear you say the rain. Obviously, the rain was a factor, but for you to say it was that much of a factor is interesting, because just backing on what you're just saying there, that they're going to have to figure out how to get this figured out against Myles Garrett. But we can't talk about the offense now since you were just talking about it, but it was the worst performance I've ever seen of Joe Burrow since I started covering the team. You've been covering the league long, so you can talk about the year before I covered the team in 2020 before he got hurt. But it was just bizarre. And what I wanted to ask you about is so much of, it seems like, having covered this team now for a couple years, the Bengals are really hard to stop once they get up on a lead and they get those big explosive pass plays and they can get up on teams. But it does seem like, specifically against Cleveland, because of the style that Cleveland wants to play and them, how much they want to run the ball and how much time that takes off the clock, and they're typically not as bad on third down as they were yesterday. But do you fear that because of the style that the Bengals, their offense is orchestrated on, that could be an issue? Like, what's going to continue to happen if more teams have a really good running back, can get after Burrow, and they don't get up on this big lead, the 14-0 lead? Like, they seem like they're a team that's so geared towards playing with the lead. What happens when you don't?
Yeah, I do think that they have to have some more answers for top pass rushers, because this isn't the first time that we've seen, you know, TJ Watt, when he's been healthy, has ruined some of their game plans, going back to, you know, week one, was it last year or was it a couple years ago, whatever. But that, I think they do have to do a little bit better job of, when they really are mismatched up front, of not just saying, hey, Joe, you figure this out, like saying, like, hey, we actually have to have a plan, because you have talented wide receivers. Like, you could do 2- and 3-man route concepts. More, you know, you're more adept, you're more equipped to do that stuff than a lot of other teams, because your 2- and 3-man route concepts are two or three of the best receivers in the NFL. Like, you don't need to be sending out Irv Smith in a route, or like, you know, or Joe Mixon out of the backfield. Like, you can max pro a little bit more when you really do have these mismatches. And I think that's what they're going to have to do. But it's just the, you know, when the running game's not working, it really was a perfect storm of no running game, no pass protection. When that's the case, when you've just gotten manhandled that much up front, you're losing games in the NFL. Just flat out, that's a fact. You're not going to, like, you got to tip your cap to the Cleveland Browns. They just had the better dudes up front. So you're not going to win a lot of games when you are that big of a mismatch, O-line versus D-line. But I do think, like I said, scheming around it more when you know that's going to be the case is going to have to be something going forward.
Let's talk about the receivers a little bit. T. Higgins, no catches, 8 targets, a slow day for Ja'Marr Chase. I know that across the board, the passing game wasn't going to work for the Bengals, but what surprised you about the wide receiver play out of Cincinnati yesterday?
Yeah, again, like, wet field, you didn't have the crispness in the routes that you would, like, want to ideally. And that's, you just can't run routes at full speed when you're worried about your footing. So that was a problem. And they challenged them. Like, I got to tip my cap to, I thought Martin Emerson, the second-year corner for Cleveland, I thought he played a heck of a game. And I think he's, like, uniquely equipped of all those Browns corners to get up at the line and try to challenge guys like T. Higgins, guys like Ja'Marr Chase, because he's big, long, physical. And he really held his own in that game. So I do think that the Browns just have some, like, matchup issues that they're not going to run into the Bengals every weekend. You know, and especially just, again, with the conditions, I'm not, like, making the excuse for the Bengals that it was all the conditions, but the conditions kind of just really sunk anything that they had. And especially when the few chances that you do have, Burrow's off, like, it was the perfect storm, not to make reference to the rain, but, like, literally a perfect storm going against the Bengals.
So what is your main thought, other than to hope that the Bengals don't see the Cleveland Browns every week? What's your main takeaway?
I mean, it's like, again, I go back to, was it last year against the Steelers that they lost week one? I think it was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Last year, it felt a lot like that game where it was just like Joe Burrow, that game, it was Joe Burrow's not going to throw 3 picks every week. This year, it's Joe Burrow's not going to miss 5 open guys every week. He's like, he's not going to miss 1 open guy most weeks. That's just, like, isn't who he is. And if he's going to, you know, if this is the Joe Burrow you're getting most weeks, like, well, you're toast. So it was just, in my opinion, an aberration, complete aberration for Joe Burrow and his career. Defensive side of the ball, I thought, you know, did as much as they could, given, like, horrible circumstances. You're punting the ball, not even possessing the clock. Like, the Browns had the ball literally almost the entire game, first half at least. that they're just possessing it and you're just behind the eight ball then getting tired. But it's just, you got to bank on Joe Burrow bouncing back, really, is truly all I can say for what I think changes going forward.
So you just talked about the defense a little bit. Was there anyone that stood out to you on the Bengals defensive side of the ball?
Not really. I mean, it was kind of like neither team played well, right? Like, I don't think there was anything special going on either side of the ball when the Browns were possessing it. There was just, you know, Watson, I think the biggest thing to me was Watson wasn't playing well either. Mm-mm. Like, if you're a Bengals fan, it's almost somewhat encouraging that the Browns can have this awesome defense, but their offense still kind of looks, you know, very shaky, at least in the passing game. Like, he had some opportunities that he missed too. So, I'm not walking away as probably discouraged as the final score was in that one. I think you're still good. You still can trust this defense week in and week out. I have no questions about that whatsoever.
So let's talk a little bit about what you saw on tape with what Cleveland's new defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, did. Like, what did you see that really might have caused some issues for the Bengals that they hadn't been used to seeing with Cleveland with previous defensive coordinators?
So they did. So Jim Schwartz, obviously his last stop is Philadelphia. What he's big on is four down, stunts, slants, just chaos up front. Like they're trying to free up their dudes, you know, and their dudes being Za'Darius Smith, Myles Garrett. Like, they're trying to get them as favorable looks as possible. And so they did a lot of pure five guys hand in the dirt, which you almost never see. Usually when you got five down right at the last scrimmage, two guys have their hand up, maybe can rush. They did, when they were blitzing, it was five guys at the line of scrimmage, hands down, teeing off going forward on third downs. And that's something. And then they go press across the outside and really just saying, challenging either someone to win quickly on the outside or someone to hold up in pass pro. And obviously they were not holding up in pass pro. So they were just trying to create chaos up front and then moving Myles Garrett. So when you're obviously trying to think, okay, it's third down, got to find him, got to try to chip him. Well, then he's over the center. Then he's over a guard. Then he's walking around along the line of scrimmage. Same with Za'Darius Smith. He's on just unpredictable so that you can't get help. So that you can't, you're not giving Ted Karras help at center. That just doesn't exist in a pass. You can't chip that. It doesn't exist. Right. That's why, Aaron Donalds and of the world are so hard to stop. So I think it was a far cry from the kind of static looks you would see from the Browns in the past. Like, this defensive line, they got four guys and they just said tee off. Like, they would put wide nines on the outside, a couple three techs or a three and a one tech, and they would just let them attack upfield more so than ever before. And, if you have a mobile quarterback, if Burrow was a little more, the calf was healthy and he really was back to his old self, maybe he scrambles, picks up a few more than he had in that game. And that's obviously the worry when you do just let your defensive line just tee off and go up as upfield, is that sometimes you'll create these big running lanes for opposing quarterbacks to scramble, get outside the pocket, and then get some chunk plays. But in that one, when he's really not mobile, when he doesn't want to run, when he wants to protect that calf as much as possible, well, then you're kind of just SOL when you have protection breaks down, as we saw.
So since, you were just talking about that, Brian Callahan also said he thinks the Browns have one of the best rushing cover groups together in the NFL. So it sounds like what they're able to do up front with what they have on the back end seems to be a perfect marriage there. And I was really impressed with them across the board on defense. But I did want to ask you, since you just brought up Burrow and the calf, how much, when you were watching the game, did you think that his calf was maybe hindering what he was doing, or could you really not just because of the rain conditions?
He didn't look like he wanted to break the pocket the way Joe Burrow breaks the pocket, right? I'm a Packers fan. I was 2014 Aaron Rodgers. I remember when he had a calf injury, was playing with that through the playoffs, and there's just a different style when you see pressure when that comes. You're just not as quick to just bolt. There's kind of a way you have to exploit a rushing lane, because those things go quickly, that when you see it, you got to be willing to attack it. And I think you just saw a hesitancy to really, there's this little bit of space, let me go. There was a hesitancy there in the back of his mind saying, if I get out in space and I'm really open it full throttle, like he did in practice when he, really pulled that calf, then there could be issues. So I think there was just that hesitancy in the back of his mind that I don't know how much it's impacting. I wouldn't say that impacted him as a passer. I think that was the rain and my theory about his hand getting hit and that, like, just eliminating, you know, the grip strength. He's already had small hands. That was the whole talk of draft season, 9-inch hands. And it's like, you need to be on point. You need to have that ball as clean as can be and as dry as can be every single time, or else that ball will have some slips. And you saw it. So to me, that was probably the bigger thing with Joe Burrow's performance, was just rain related.
Yeah. And Zach Taylor said there's a big difference between rain and snow. And you've seen Burrow against the Bills. He was great in the snow. But this type of rain seemed like it caused a lot of issues, because I've never seen him go back and forth with the glove as much as he did. So that was a significant thought there. But yeah, I do think it was just a matter of, look, he's not Superman, even though he's been pretty much close to it. He didn't play at all during training camp, and he practiced for, like, as a limited participant for 2 days before last week, and he really only ramped things up on that Thursday. So I think that, listen, it's not easy when your first game is in the rain and Myles Garrett is breathing down your neck all the time. But did you think that, just before we move on to next week, did you think that Orlando Brown and Jonah Williams played okay? What did you think about the offensive line?
I mean, when they got matched up against Myles, it was – They were losing. But I thought Jonah, for being on the right side, he looked comfortable. Like, his sets were not, you know, problematic. Like, he looked like he knew the position. It kind of, like, fell back into form. So when you're not facing, you know, freaking Superman, they'll probably be much improved. But the interior was a little bit worrisome with how much they just, like, were easily caped in. You know, when I think, I don't want to say there's going to be a blueprint out, but I think a lot of teams are going to watch this tape and say, hey, we can do some things with this interior line, because they didn't have the anchor against a lot of bull rushes. If we just fire off and try to collapse pockets against Burrow, we might have something here. And so that might be a little bit more worrisome for me.
But that's so interesting, because the interior is supposed to be their strength with Ted and Alex Kappa. I mean, Alex Kappa was one of the best guards in the NFL last year, and then Cordell was pretty good on the left side as a rookie. So I guess, was that surprising to you that the interior didn't play all that well?
It could also been, like I said before, when you're in the rain, soaking wet field, you can't anchor. You know, mm-hmm. You're going to slide back when you try to stick your feet in. You're just not going to get the sort of footing that you would otherwise. So that obviously could have played a big factor as well.
Yeah, Ted Karras did say following the game, though, that the communication was poor. And Zach Taylor alluded to how early on in the game they had some miscommunication errors up front that they were able to clean up throughout the game. But at some point, it just, I think, became too late there. But, you know,
I think the five-man fronts I was referencing, that's something that, again, you didn't see on tape last year,
right?
And that's unique, and that mm-hmm. if you don't prepare for a five down front, your calls are going to be different along the offensive line about who you're identifying, because they go five down and then no linebackers behind. It would just be that front five on a lot of third downs, and so there's no mic point, there's no, you know, it messes up, like, you can have communication issues when that's the case, when it's something that you really weren't expecting to see.
Yeah, but with Ted Karras, I mean, he's been a team captain since he got here, and he's not the type that you see make the same mistakes over and over again, and he kind of leads that group, so I would imagine that they get that cleaned up. So, because I won't get to talk to you until next Monday, can you give me some of your thoughts? I don't know how much of the Ravens-Texans game you saw, but just some of your opening thoughts on the matchup between the Bengals and the Ravens this weekend.
Yeah, I think the Ravens did not look as good as maybe the final
score
suggested.
That's from what I've read. I haven't had a chance to check it out, but it sounds like they weren't very impressive.
New look offense, obviously going from Greg Roman and kind of like pack it all in, two tight ends, a fullback, this power run scheme, to a lot more spread, a lot more get the hands of the ball in the hands of the playmakers. And I think you saw Lamar Jackson struggle with it a little bit. Just, you know, obviously a new offense, you're going to have some growing pains, but I will say they got the ball in Zay Flowers' hands a lot. The rookie, he looked as impressive. He looked like the most impressive rookie wide receiver I saw all week. He looks dynamic. That's definitely a guy that you're the Bengals, you're keying on in this secondary and saying, hey, like, we got to, when he gets the ball, we got to be tackling. We got to be rallying to the ball, because one guy may not be enough to bring him down. So that was probably my biggest takeaway from watching a little bit what the Ravens did offensively.
I've always thought that the Ravens are going to be a team that it might take them a little bit to sort things out on offense, but then later on in the season, I do feel like they're going to be a pretty good team. But they had apparently a lot of, I really haven't even gone into the Ravens prep, but a ton of injuries. J.K. Dobbins, I believe, Ronnie Stanley and their center are banged up. I don't know this how severe those injuries are, but it sounds like they got hit with the injury bug. So I'll obviously be following that this week. Are you taking the Bengals in this week's game?
I think so. I think it's a bounce back. Like, I'm more worried about Lamar Jackson in a new offense than I am Joe Burrow looking like that again, right? Like, mm-hmm. We've seen the aberrations from him before. He's always come back swinging and come back stronger. So I'm going to buy that it's an aberration until it really starts to become a trend.
So that's what I was going to say, is because of what they did last year and starting 0-2 and then going on the run that they did, does that make you less concerned about what you saw in week one from the Bengals?
100%. Like I said, like we've seen the aberration, and for some reason it keeps being like the beginning of the year with him. But I do think that it gets sorted out. And, you know, so much of the offense is reliant on him. Like they do it by choice. Like they're putting it on his back by choice. And so when he's missing the throws that he always makes, well, like you put it all on him. So like that you're going to go as he goes, basically. Right. And that's by choice. And like you want to go as he goes because he's, you know, a top three quarterback in the NFL at worst. So that's why you put a lot of responsibility on him. But I do trust that he'll bounce back here.
And I mean, the common theme for both of them is last year, remember, he had the appendectomy and wasn't able to play all of training camp. And week one, he did not play great. And then the next week, he was playing one of the best defensive fronts in the Cowboys last week. So at least the Ravens don't have some crazy, intimidating pass rusher. I do think, though, that this defense has caused a lot of issues for the Bengals in previous matchups. So we'll see how that one plays out. But looking forward to watching that one. So I'll let you go to the rest of what you have going on. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and I can't wait to talk to you next week.
For sure, Kelsey. Good luck this weekend.